result, after this war, we will have mass bankruptcy, mass misery, mass unemployment and great famine. Some, a few, saw it. The tragedy is that they weren't the masses in this city, nor those who ruled them.
Stephen Evans, former BBC Berlin correspondent, presented this evening's essay, which was produced by Simon Coates. It was first broadcast last year. And tomorrow night, a pre-war portrait of St. Petersburg with Steve Rosenberg. Same time, 10:45.
One man. One cello. One prong. Yo-Yo Ma plays all six suites for solo cello by J.S. Bach at the BBC Proms. Live from the Royal Albert Hall next Saturday evening at 9 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3. This Monday night, it's just after 11. Time for Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson.
Good evening. One of the leaders of the Chicago avant-garde, channeling English post-punk and Ethiopian grooves into a band featuring a Dutchman and an Austrian. Truly international music coming up from a saxophonist we've long been big fans of here on Jazz on 3, Ken Vandermark, with his latest project, Made to Break. Coming up in around about half an hour's time. Firstly, though, we thought we'd check in on Ken's home city, Chicago. Always great for a rich seam of jazz and improvised music, but maybe occasionally gets overlooked in the shadow of New York. Here to bring us up to date on the latest sounds from the Windy City is Peter Margazak, a longtime jazz writer for the Chicago Reader. Hi there, Peter.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us on this programme. As I said, it's Chicago, of course, always been a rich melting pot of music, whether that be blues, soul, jazz, even house music. And of course, in jazz terms, we always look to Chicago as the home of the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians, now 50-some years old, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But to start with a big question, someone who's been writing about Chicago and jazz in Chicago for a long time, give us a kind of quick snapshot from your point of view of the health of the Chicago jazz scene at the moment.
It's strong. I mean, Chicago is such a, it's the third largest city in the United States, so there's a lot of people, all kinds of music. So musicians here can sort of do everything. A touring soul singer would come through, or they would have to play a polka gig or a wedding gig. So they sort of had to play everything. So there's an incredible versatility in Chicago that's been a key component of the music scene here for many, many years. And right now it's been really strong. It just, when I think it's going to kind of tail off and kind of weaken, it just keeps renewing itself.
Well, you've chosen some music for us, and I have to say I've been listening to these tracks over the last couple of days, and some brilliant choices. And I don't know, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what listeners think, but there's a real sense of that soulfulness that you mentioned going through all of this music, and a kind of rugged attack, I think, about some of the music that we're going to hear. So let's get into the first piece. Tell us about Michael Zarang.
Well, Michael Zarang is a true veteran of the scene. He's been playing music, improvised music, since the 70s. In all kinds of formats, post-bop, free jazz, free improvisation. He's a Syrian American, so he has a strong interest in Middle Eastern music. For a long time, he had a band with his family called Kismet that would play at Arabic weddings and things. In more recent years, he's really stood out for his free improv, working in the Peter Brotzman Chicago Tentet. And then a couple years ago, he missed composing. He worked a lot in the 90s for different theater groups and dance groups composing music. And I think he had an itch to get back to the sheet music, and put together a really great combo called The Blue Lights. The tunes on his new record are very catchy. Some have a definite Middle Eastern vibe. But and again, like what you were saying, a very aggressive attack. That's the common thread to a lot of the stuff. Chicago's a you know, the cliche is a city of broad shoulders, and it is a kind of a no-frills city. It's a city that gets things done. So there's not too much fanciness to any of this stuff. It's pretty direct and driving. But there's a definite soulfulness to this in Michael Zerang's new project, The Blue Lights.
Okay, this is called Dancing for Cigarettes. quintet led by drummer Michael Zarang. They are called The Blue Lights, and that's Dancing for Cigarettes, taken from the album Songs from the Big Book of Love. The first choice of my guest on the line from Chicago, a writer from the Chicago Reader, Peter Margazak, and you know, that band featuring some of the sort of Chicago family members who we think of, people like Kent Kesler. And I mean, looking from the outside, it seems that Chicago has this kind of completely sort of unique scene and unique sound. It sometimes lives in a, not entirely, but it's a bit of a bubble. It's its own thing. It's distinct from the other American jazz scenes, and specifically the, I guess, the most famous jazz scene in America, New York. I guess it's proud of its own identity, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, Chicagoans enjoy the fact that it's away from New York. It's about a 13, 14-hour drive. And there's, the industry doesn't exist like it does in New York or Los Angeles. So there's not as many eyes watching. There's not as much pressure. There's not as much competition. I mean, there's no shortage of musicians, in there, but there's plenty of places to play. So there's a lot of freedom to experiment and to do what you want to do and not have to be concerned about making a lot of money to survive.
Okay, let's move on to your next choice then, and tell us about Nick Mazzarella.
Well, Nick is one of the younger guys that's come up. I think he's in his late 20s, came on the scene. He's very aggressive, very driven, very focused, and this is the third record he's made with this trio he's had for a while now with bassist Anton Hatwich and Frank Rosalie on the drums. When he first came up, you just couldn't miss the influence of Ornette Coleman. He has a very bright, buoyant sound, and his melodies were very Ornette-ish. But over time now, he's broadened his sound. He's finding his own identity. Definitely a lot of Coltrane in there too, but I think on this record is the first one where he really kind of makes his own statement as a saxophonist, and his rapport with this trio has never been stronger. And you know, he's got a lot of confidence, and you can really hear it on this new record.
alto saxophonist Nick Mazzarella and his trio. That's a piece called Abacus and Astrolab from an album called Ultraviolet, out on International Anthem. And that's an exclusive for Jazz on 3, a first play, courtesy of my guest tonight, who is Peter Margzak. He's a journalist from Chicago, and he's introducing us to some new music from the Chicago scene in advance of a concert a little later on from, I guess, one of the daddies of the Chicago scene. That's Ken Vandermark. Something now, your next choice, Peter, comes from someone we're slightly familiar with in the UK, and I know that fellow DJ Giles Peterson on Six Music is a fan of this record from Micaiah McRaven. Tell us about the process behind this, and also some of the people in the group, because there's some familiar sort of Chicago family members in this group as well.
Yep. Micaiah is a newer arrival in Chicago, playing over the last several years. He's been playing with guitarist Bobby Broom. His father's a pretty well-known drummer that played with Archie Shepp for a long time, Steve McRaven. And for this particular project, he holed up at a lounge in a restaurant called The Bedford. And over the course of nearly a year, I think, did weekly sessions, completely improvised. And then he took, I think it was about 48 hours of tapes that were made of the various sessions. And he assembled them painstakingly into compositions. There were definitely, it's a very groove-oriented improv session. So there's very, you know, familiar elements at work there. But he patched them together, looped things and stretched things, and really did an incredible job to make it sound quite organic. Definitely a mix of some hip-hop ideas and funk, but with some very adventurous improvising. And yeah, he works with a very eclectic crew, people like Jeff Parker on guitar, Marquise Hill, who's a really terrific trumpeter, recently moved to New York after winning the Thelonious Monk competition last year, or earlier this year. It's a different vibe for Chicago. You don't hear this kind of groove, especially with these players, as much. So it's a nice kind of change from what we hear in town.
We'll be right back. looser, jammier side of the Chicago jazz scene there. Micaiah McCraven and a tune called Finances from In the Moment, culled, as Peter Margazak told us, from many, many hours of live improvised performance at a Chicago venue. And that album is also out on the International Anthem label. Peter, when we think of Chicago, we think of that idea of community and, I guess, an appreciation of the arts, whether that be art in public spaces, museums, and, of course, the sort of music collectives that have grown up there, and specifically the AACM, the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians, celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. Give us a very kind of quick history, if you can, of the AACM, and then tell us about its health in 2015.
Well, AACM, again, obviously started in 1965. A group of musicians on the South Side were frustrated about being shut out of local venues for playing original music. So they banded together, and it really was one of the first collectives in jazz, and it was part of a much larger black arts movement that was happening in Chicago and around the country. But the AACM ended up being incredibly influential. The members, Muhal Richard Abrams, the members of the Art Ensemble of Chicago, Leo Smith, Leroy Jenkins, so many incredibly brilliant musicians that completely revolutionized, I think, jazz, came up with a spin on free jazz that completely different from what was going on in New York.
Just before we hear this next piece, which includes three people who have been very active in the AACM, what does it do at the moment, the AACM? How does it, you know, make an impact on the scene in Chicago?
Well, there are a huge group of musicians still currently active. There's the great Black Music Ensemble is doing a big concert this summer. There are plenty of AACM groups. There's still an AACM school. There's lots of public programming. And, you know, it was always a civic-minded organization, and it's all about doing original music, writing your own stuff and coming up with something new instead of just rehashing the past. You know, and that's why this particular record, in a way, that kind of seems like a contradiction, because it's a trio playing music of AACM figures, but it's a completely fresh take on it, I think. And this group has Nicole Mitchell on flute, Mike Reed on drums, and cellist Tamika Reed playing music from Anthony Braxton, the Art Ensemble of Chicago, Leroy Jenkins, Amina Claudine Myers, and definitely putting their own spin on it. And we're going to listen to a piece from a later Muhal Richard Abrams album called Colors in 33rd. It's called Monked Monk, and the trio definitely remakes it.
another exclusive for you, a first-time listen to something new from AACM members, drummer Mike Reed, cellist Tamika Reed, and flute player Nicole Mitchell from their album Artifacts, which features new reinterpretations of pieces composed by AACM members over the last 50 years. That album's out at the end of October. And here on Jazz On Through, we'll be marking the AACM 50th anniversary in an extensive way later in the year with new music from this year's Vision Festival, plus performances from our archives. Do let me know if you have any requests from over the years from bands and artists that we've played associated with the AACM. You can email me jazzon3@bbc.co.uk, or you can tweet at @BBCJazzOn3. My guest is Peter Margazak. He's a writer from Chicago, been following the jazz scene for many years. And Peter, we're speaking earlier on about that concept of Chicago being in a bit of a bubble. Certainly there's a great association between fine Chicago artists and free improvised players in Europe. So our concert tonight comes from Ken Vandermark, who we have featured many, many times on Jazz On 3 over the last couple of decades, both with his own groups, of which there have been many, and also playing with one of those Europeans with which the Chicagoans have made such a bond, and that's Peter Brotzmann. So does Ken remain that kind of powerful, inspiring figure on the Chicago scene?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, he doesn't play so much anymore. He spends more and more time, for years he's spent most of his time playing abroad, so he doesn't perform that much, and lately he kind of disbanded his two working Chicago groups. But you know, Ken is still, I mean, I can't imagine him not being a major factor and figure in the Chicago scene. I mean, he's what people know about Chicago in a lot of cases.
Well, tonight's performance comes from a new project, and actually quite an unusual one for him, or certainly in advance on things he's done in the past. It's a quartet called Made to Break, which features fellow Chicagoan Tim Daisy on percussion, plus Europeans Christoph Kurtzman on reeds and electronics, and electric bassist Jasper Stadhuders. And we had a quick word with Ken and asked him to explain his approach to this and how he'd begun to explore different rhythmic areas with Made to Break.
I've become more and more interested in the last several years in exploring different kinds of rhythmic approaches to music that come outside the jazz field. So things that come out of the post-punk movement out of England, music from different parts of Africa, and the funk as well. Well, I guess superficially, there's a repetitious element to them that are different than the flexibility in jazz approaches to rhythm. In funk music, as rhythmically inventive as James Brown is, or Funkadelic are, in general the forms are pretty solid. And even in James Brown's music, where elements can be extended or contracted based on how he wants to dance, or when he's bored, or whatever it would have been, you know, you'd go to the bridge. And then you come back. And if you take away the formal structure of give and take and tension and release, is it still possible to create the tension? Is the solo limited in duration by the repetition of the rhythm? Or can the rhythm be broken apart and reconfigured in ways that surprise the soloist? And I felt it was really possible to do the latter, to reconfigure the rhythms and bass lines and make them spontaneous in a way that was akin to the spontaneity in jazz rhythmic sensibility, like the bass player, you know, utilizing different parts of the chords or coming up with new lines, and the drummers expanding and contracting the phrasing that they're using. All those things are possible using different rhythmic sensibility, but they're not usually explored in an improviser's context.
Saxophonist Ken Vandermark talking about the rhythmic approach to his new project Made to Break. And Peter, this feels like you've talked about the fact that Ken Vandermark is so widely travelled, and you put that together, his kind of musical adventures around the world together with the melting pot that Chicago already is. And this feels like a project where he's, you know, pulling on so many of the musical experiences of his life.
Yeah, I mean, it's the latest in a series of bands that have tried to do this, and they go further each time. I mean, he had a group called Space Waves with Hameed Drake that was looking at funk and reggae, and then he had a band called Powerhouse Sound, and this is definitely the latest in that series of constellations. And this one is, I think, the most aggressive and dense, and using Christoph Kurtzman, who comes out of a much more experimental sensibility in Vienna, and he actually lives a lot of the time in Argentina these days. I mean, it gives the music a much different complexion, and it's always changing with Ken, and this group definitely advances those ideas in exciting new ways.
Okay, well, Peter, thank you very much for introducing us to some great Chicago music so far. We're going to speak to you again briefly at the end, but now we're going to sit back and enjoy 45 minutes from Ken Vandermark's new group, Made to Break, recorded at the Jazz im Martin Schlossel Festival in Austria last year. We'll be right back.
One more time. This is Christoph Kurtzman. Christoph Kurtzman, electronics. And Jasper Stadthouder is on the bass. Jasper Stadthouder. My cohort from Chicago, Mr. Tim Daisy on the drums. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Recorded at the Jazz in Martenschlossel Festival in Austria last year. That's a newish project from Chicago saxophonist Ken Vandermark. The band are called Made to Break, with Tim Daisy on percussion, plus Christoph Kurtzman on reeds and electronics, and Jasper Stadhuders on electric bass. And the group has a new album out on Trost Records in September, and a European tour happening later in the autumn. We'll put details of that up on the Jazz on 3 website. And if you happen to be in the Chicago area, then from the 3rd to the 6th of September, the Chicago Jazz Festival is happening. No doubt, Peter Margazak from the Chicago Reader, you'll be there, will you, Peter?
Yeah, I will.
What are the standout?
It's free, too.
It's free. Well, that's the thing.
Everything's
it's
completely free.
A couple of standout moments for you?
Well, certainly the experimental band is going to be pretty great. Craig Taborn Trio is playing. Chico Freeman, another great Chicagoan who's been living in Switzerland for a long time, comes back, and he'll be playing with Hamid Drake. There's no shortage of things to see and hear.
And that's all free.
All free.
We don't get that here in the UK. You think yourself lucky. Well, next week on Jazz on 3, we have music from one of the US musicians of the moment. That's saxophonist Kamasi Washington. Highlights from his recent 4-hour-long album launch gig that happened in the States in the summer, with a choir, strings and a 10-piece band. And Peter, Kamasi is making a big splash here in Europe, selling lots of records and getting lots of hype. Is that true in the US as well?
He's definitely made a name for himself this year. I mean, he's worked on some of the biggest records, not jazz artists, but he's worked with more pop and R&B artists. He's on the latest record by rapper Kendrick Lamar, played last year on the Flying Lotus record. So he's been part of this creative ferment in LA, and that's really been bubbling up. And this is definitely a breakout moment. He has gotten attention. I expect we'll be hearing a lot more from him. I mean, I don't know how he's going to pull it off live, because it's such an ambitious, huge production.
Yeah.
But the guy can play for sure.
Well, we chatted to him about that, and he's going to be coming to Europe later in the year with a smaller group. But actually, because this was the album launch, he had the whole thing going on with the choir and the strings and everything. So definitely worth checking this out on Jazz on 3 next week. Peter, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much. And we will definitely be back to you, because you've introduced us to some great music. Thank you very much.
Terrific. My pleasure.
Thanks also to my producers tonight, Chris Elcombe and Alex Watson. Jazz on 3 is a Something Else production for BBC Radio 3. And we'll leave you with a taste of what to expect next week. Here is Kamasi Washington performing music from his debut album, The Epic. From me, Jazz Nelson, good night. We'll be right back.
I'm John Shea, and welcome to another edition of Through the Night on BBC Radio 3. The 1st of September is Constitution Day in Slovakia, the date in 1992 when the imminent breakup of Czechoslovakia was formalised with the adoption of a new constitution in Bratislava. So today we're marking the anniversary with a programme largely devoted to Slovak music and musicians, and some recent recordings by the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra and their chief conductor Mario Košek fill the first hour. Three 20th century concertos, beginning with the violin concerto by Desider Kardoš. He lived from 1914 to 1991, and he held a number of jobs in radio as well as teaching posts. Milan Pala is the soloist.